Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. He's going to scratch off a lottery ticket, and
yes.
We're going to see how he does.
That I purchased myself.
Greg Smith is here. He's the president and CEO, Connecticut Lottery Corporation. Thanks for this takeover today. Appreciate it.
No, good morning, you guys. Thanks for having us.
Oh, we love you guys.
Yeah.
You guys make people, you make dreams come true.
Absolutely.
You've been part of my life. Dream makers.
You've been a part of my life for the last 20 years.
That's not creepy.
Think about the expression. Ah, he hit the lottery.
Exactly.
That's because it's
good
everybody's
thing.
Dream.
Yeah,
it's like when someone says that, it could mean, well, they got a job or they got a great spouse or whatever. It's like, oh, they hit the lottery.
Yeah, it's the one thing you want to hit.
Because it's that thing that you want.
Yeah.
Everybody wants.
Yeah. You don't want to hit a pole? No. You don't want to hit somebody? No. But you can hit the lottery. It's a good thing.
Hit the lottery.
Exactly. That's a huge thing.
So congratulations on 50 years.
That's a good long time, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
I mean, you guys got there last year, correct? Wasn't that your 50th anniversary?
That's right.
Yeah, the radio
program.
Station.
So,
the station,
yeah, it's
yes.
A nice milestone to reach. Happy to be around when that happens.
It's not easy.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No. So, AJ, what is it that you have in your hand now?
I have the 50-year anniversary lottery scratch-off ticket.
Okay.
I bought the $5 versions.
Because
right. You can get them in
is
one,
that the
two.
Second chance?
Yes.
Okay. So even if he doesn't win right now, let's just say he doesn't win, which I think if he does, like, great. I hope he does. It would be, would it be weird for you if he won right now?
He probably always wins.
No.
That's why he likes us so much.
I'm waiting for you guys to have a $2 winner.
Well, you know what's interesting is that Greg has overseen the most successful period in lottery history.
Oh, yeah? Awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Good for you.
Yeah, we had quite a year last year.
Yeah, a lot of winners.
It was. You know, and
was that making
nuts? When you talk about the examples of, you know, the different things where people talk about winning the lottery, winning our lottery is really good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you get happy when people hit the lottery because it's not your money. You're like, hey.
That's true. Yeah, have some.
You know, like, if it was my money, I'd be like, someone hit the lottery
right.
Again?
Right.
No.
No.
You're happy when that happens.
It's like, look at this. Thank God.
Yay.
Now I have a place to sit.
Right.
Yeah, it was all piled up over here.
All right. So if AJ wins, you'll be happy.
Yes. Not only will we be happy, but we'll actually pay him.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Thank you. See? And I'll actually keep his money, too.
All right. So what's the big win on that ticket? What's the most he can win?
This is $50,000.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of money.
A $50,000 scratch-off.
Right. That'd be smooth. That really, I could buy gas, which is good.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that before?
I guess. Oh.
$50,000?
Oh. Have I ever won?
No. Have you ever done that before? That'd be weird if you won.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just testing it. Hey, the lottery CEO won $50,000.
I was
scratching a ticket.
I was just testing it. I was making sure it worked.
How did that happen? There'd be some questions on that, Greg.
Yeah. Ixnay.
Have you ever had a $50,000 scratch-off ticket before?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So... some of our scratch tickets prizes go up into the millions.
Yeah.
Really?
One yes. Million, yes.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Where have I been?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All right. Well, I just learned something today. Good. We all learned something.
Right.
All right, AJ. Let's right. Scratch away.
My lucky current over here, so I got to reveal my numbers
if you
first.
Scratch off 50,000, AJ, are you leaving right now?
Maybe just go outside and scream. No, yeah. I'd still be here because, you know, I'd roll up in a different car. Yeah. Oh, no, I get my Harley finally. That'd be cool.
Because I love you guys, and it's fun.
That's, right, exactly. That's exactly. You see how my lips didn't even move on that one, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Let's see. 24. No, let's see here. I got a 1. No, not that. Okay, keep on going. I got 11. By the way, when you do a scratcher ticket and you do win something, you should scratch off the bottom so it's easier for the clerk to just hit the little barcode thing. So, little tip right there.
Really?
Just so you know, yes.
Is that true?
Nice yeah. Customer service
yep.
Touch. Yeah.
Yep. You got to hit that. So, you know, this goes, otherwise, then he's got to do it. And next thing you know, it gives you all the, you know, the dollar bills that are all bent and smelling funny. So, yeah.
I'll take sure dollar bills anyway. I could get them.
Exactly. Usually I have to dance for those. But, yeah. So, keep on going.
Listen to him scratch.
Let's see.
It's nice that he's narrating it for us.
Yeah. Let's see. I got
it's a nice
three
sound.
Over here. Yeah, so you got a 30 over here. That would have been 50,000 if I would have matched that one right there.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been awesome right now. I've been like, yes, this totally happened randomly. Let's see, 9 over here. No. Now we got 33. No, damn it, I had 31. That would have been $500 right there.
See I got how 29. Close he got?
I got 29. That would have been $100 right there. 35 would have been another 50,000.
Wow.
And then the 4, would have been 500. Okay, so I got a bonus number over here to check out.
You know, AJ says he's not good with numbers, but this is pretty. This is sounding pretty good right now.
These are numbers he knows.
Okay, so yeah. I didn't have that, no. So they also give you 2 bonus options. You match the bonus option with something down below. You win that prize for that that number.
Okay.
So no, I didn't have anything on those right there. I got down to a system here, by the way. I mean, you get rid of all the shavings.
Yeah.
You just kind of use your card to...
Scratch it. Yep. Oh, look at that.
Yep, and then you...
Looks like you did that in the 80s.
On the floor? You just put them on the floor?
No. They're on the card. I scooped into my hand. I put them on the card.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What do you think, I'm a couth woman? Come on. All right, here we go.
We're not going to... We'll scratch that off during a break.
Okay.
But here's the deal with that ticket that you just scratched
off.
It's
a second chance.
Greg, that's not done yet.
No.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's
the
beauty.
So don't throw it out.
Correct.
Nope.
So these tickets are entered for additional prizes that will be drawn over the course of the summer. And then also entrants will be drawn to go to our 50th anniversary event. That's later this fall.
Which we'll be hosting.
Which
AJ and I will be at.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so... absolutely. You know, currently these non-winning for the prizes have additional prizes for them.
Right.
And so go online, find our website, and go in there and set yourself up with an account and enter these non-winning tickets. It's
That's
a fantastic
great.
Next chance.
Oh, I will be. It.
That sounds great.
I love it. Love it. Love it. I have a really great story. I was on vacation.
Oh, okay.
A couple, what was it?
Somewhere around December. No, it was I think it was the midwinter one you had back in March.
Right.
Yeah.
I played the lotto. Bought $1 ticket. Left it in my wallet. Forgot about it. Couple weeks later, I pull it out.
Hey.
And I'm checking the numbers. First one. Second one. Third one. It's never happened to me before.
Right.
I'm like, fourth one.
Yep.
Fifth one, no.
Ah, but well, it was a good run.
I think I had 4 or 5. How many are there in the lotto?
There's 6.
6.
There's 6.
6.
I got 5. 5 of 6.
That's nice.
So I'm like, what does that pay? That has to be pretty good.
Right, and you find out the payout's right there. You just click on it.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just Googled, like, what's the payout for 5?
I know the whole route.
And they said it was like, I don't know, $1,800. And I'm like,
hey.
Unreal. That is awesome.
I'll take it.
So I'm like, I probably can't just walk into a store, right? There's a high payout.
Yeah.
Store. There's locations.
Yeah, up to 600, like a regular dealer, but after that, to go to like the location you mentioned. Yes.
AJ could work for you guys.
I know the whole thing.
That's your next career.
I know the whole thing. Yeah, go ahead.
So there's a place in Waterbury. So I go to the place in Waterbury.
West Haven, too, by the way.
Guy takes my ticket. He goes, we can't help you here. I'm like,
what?
He goes, you won $9,000.
And then you heard,
no one else. I was the only one.
Right.
So, first of all, I was one number away, and it was one digit.
Oh.
From the one number.
Oh.
I would have been the only winner, but I was the only winner for 5 numbers. I got $9,000.
Nice.
$1.
That feels pretty good.
That was great.
Yes, $1.
It was great.
How to turn $1 into $8,909.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and there's a lot of stories out there. Anytime we go to the phones, people call up, want $100 here, $1,000 there.
Yeah. I've hit 4 numbers before. You know, I've gotten like $63. I got $100 one time.
Yeah.
It's nice. You know, it's really cool.
Fun.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't hit on those games. My mom does this thing. So if like someone has like a big birthday, she'll shove a bunch of those scratch off tickets in the card.
Great gift.
Yep.
And once someone won $500, and it turned out to be like the biggest card that they got, and she's like, "We didn't spend that much at all."
Happy birthday!
Yep. See, I planned that.
There was a guy who worked at a place He started there after I left RF Electronic Hardware in Seymour.
Oh, this is a great story. Yes, yes, yes.
And he won, I think, $32 million.
$32 million.
Almost did a spit take.
Right.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
$32 million. He was the only player. And there's this urban legend. I don't know if this story is true.
What's that?
But he walked into, they refer to him, by the way, at the boat marina, his beautiful boat.
Of course.
As the millionaire.
That's a cool nickname to have.
Really good guy. You know? I met him once.
I'm and, the hell out of your
He's
person.
The kind of guy, you like, you're happy that he won.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, he deserves, like, this guy, you're happy that he won.
Exactly. Half for his success, yes, of course. Yeah.
But he walked into a car dealership. And there was a GT40 on the floor.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, he's a working guy.
Yeah.
He's got his flannel shirt on and work boots. And the sales guy goes, yeah, what can I do for you? He goes, yeah, I want to take this car for a ride. He goes, that car's not for you. He goes, hold on a second. So he got an assistant salesperson. The guy was like his second or third day on the job. And the guy ended up, the lottery guy, bought the car cash.
So that
can you imagine being
too.
Your third day on the job,
right?
And this guy walks in and buys like a $250,000 car cash.
I can now.
Like, I like this job.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. What are you guys doing with sports betting? That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So we've been we started sports betting last fall and settled online. Our partner company is Rush Street Interactive. So we operate under the PlaySugarHouse.com. Logo, and it's really been nice. And then we have right now 9 different retail locations around the state that offer sports betting.
That's
and so it's a really fun, you know, gaming that people can get involved in now that really plays out nicely when you're out, you know, watching games at different sports bars and things like that.
Yeah,
that,
you get more involved.
You do. You know, I'm not picturing that there's all these players that are dropping $5,000 and $10,000. I'm looking at it more as like $5 to $10 bets.
Yeah,
you know, $20 bets, and it's just fun skin in the game.
Yeah,
so it's a
new Keno turned out to be the like most fun thing to do, having a beer.
It's true. Yep, waiting for a sandwich at a deli. Boom, play it right there.
Is your name Carbs? Really,
Carbs?
Hold on, Carbs.
Hey,
used to be Fats.
Good morning.
That's Carbs. Hey,
yo,
Chad.
Hey,
hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Thanks.
It's been a while. I'm just giving you.
I'm already regretting this call.
So what do you got, Carbs?
Yes, I am.
Please tell me what you got.
We don't want to cut Carbs here. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't you remember me? I'm always giving you scratch offs when I meet you.
Oh,
guys.
Okay.
Oh, you're that guy.
Right.
I'm that guy. Yeah. Yep. Haven't been doing too good lately, buddy. Got to go into the hospital on Friday. Got a heart thing to play with here. They're going to have some fun with me again.
All right. Well, anyway, get that done. Buy some lottery tickets.
Hey, listen.
Hey,
good luck.
Yeah, always on your.
All right, listen. I'm doing something else right now. Right. It's like
his buddy His buddy hit. His buddy won a big jackpot.
Why didn't you just get to that?
I know. Carbs.
Yeah.
You're giving me a heart attack. I got an important person in the studio. Yeah.
So what do you hit for, man?
You got to watch. You got to watch eating your carbs, guys.
That's good to know.
Hey, listen. What happened? Tell us the story.
Yeah.
Well, with the lottery.
All right, thank you.
Yes, of course.
Good luck with your heart surgery.
Anyway,
no, I don't know if I mean that right now. Just kidding.
Right. His friend won in New Jersey. That's all I know.
Nice.
Oh, I was like, awesome.
Well, we're talking about the Connecticut lottery. No one cares about the New Jersey lottery.
He had a story of
oh my God,
a friend hitting a jackpot.
Carbs was wrong on every point.
Nice.
But he does buy us a lot of those instant tickets.
He does.
He comes by and he says thank you.
Always put in my pocket. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Here you go. Take this.
All right, AJ, were you scratching your second ticket?
I was not scratching my second ticket. I was enthralled by Carbs.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, Greg, thank you for this opportunity today, the Connecticut Lottery Takeover Day on WPLR. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
no, this is a great opportunity for us. And, you know, the nice thing about the second chance that you're playing out live for us is
yes.
This will be something that happens all the time. So
exactly.
We'll continue to roll games through this.
Oh, this
so
won't end?
This is
in
not
year
just
51?
A singular 50th. No, no, no. We started that with these games. And so our plans are probably every month that we'll be rolling out new games once these 50th anniversary ones end. That you'll constantly be able to see the little logo on the ticket that says it's a second chance one, And then we'll continue to do drawings probably every quarter as we move through each year.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. So lottery players that play scratch games, look for the little second chance logo in the corner of the ticket. And that lets you know that the game does not end when the scratch is not successful.
Ooh, okay, 10 bucks so far.
Really?
Yep.
Just revealed you got 10 bucks.
I just revealed a coin there. It says 10 bucks right there. That's awesome.
Two tickets. You bought two tickets yesterday.
And Ready One's got Ready One's a winner. This is awesome.
We got a little osmosis thing going on here.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, just see, for folks who like to be keep fitness, this is a great arm workout, too. your forearms will be forearms of steel, damn it. That's right. Oh, I got another one. Oh, okay. So okay, good. This is good.
What did you get? So you got $10?
I got 10 bucks. Yeah. So let's see here. This is really the excitement going
You're
on right
now.
You're
a good scratcher, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I make sure because you have to make sure. Because some people, this annoys me.
They have
a little circle just for the number. I'm like, no. Scratch the whole damn thing off.
You got to clear the whole thing.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Well, it was fun to hear you talk about the $32 million winner.
Guy.
And you think of like the Powerball game where that's one of our lowest prizes. They start down around $20 million. And so many people go, that prize isn't big enough for me to be interested in winning.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, $20
million.
People
get in when it's $300 million.
$30
million. $20
million is not enough. It's not enough. No. And so I don't understand that at all. But you go, let me know when we reach your numbers, okay?
Yeah, I think you have a better chance hitting it when it's lower because less people are in, right?
It's really the same. Every ticket you buy, you have the same odds of doing it.
I always think that like when it's $350 million, I'm going to hit, and then there's going to be $349,999,000 other winners. Hey, you got a dollar. You're going to get 20 cents
but it's
a week for life.
It's a dollar you didn't have before, so it's a beautiful thing. So
that's right.
No matter what.
We got to go. Greg Smith, president and CEO of the Connecticut Lottery. Nice job to you and your staff.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed the rest of your morning.
You're always welcome here. There's the deal. It has to be you. So you give Rob Ray a song title of a top 40 hit from the U.S. charts.
Yes, U.S. charts.
From the 1970s.
Right.
So top 40, U.S. charts, 1970s.
Yeah, not Sri Lanka somewhere. Yeah.
Song title.
Right.
He'll give you the artist.
Right.
And if he doesn't, you get the prize.
It's all yours.
Okay.
It'll be you.
Beef Man.
Hey, guys. How about Everybody Plays the Fool?
Oh. Main Ingredient.
And I can get that one.
Main Ingredient of what?
Right.
Rich in the Truck.
And that was Cuba Gooding's dad, by the way.
Yeah. Tom.
Was it really?
Yep.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, the Main Ingredient was Cuba Gooding's dad.
Really?
Yep. Yes, it was. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yep. Sorry, did you say something?
Yeah, what was
Rich?
It?
Yeah, I said On Top.
On Top.
On Top?
Of Old Smokey, all covered with cheese. Sorry.
I've never heard of a song called On Top.
On Top.
Done by the Killers.
The Killers? That's not the 1970s,
no.
Is it?
No.
Yes, 1970s. Look it up.
Hold on.
There were two bands called The Killers? I do not know that.
Never heard of that before in my life.
Do you want to get up, Phil?
I was on the phone. I heard Killers. That was all I heard. I'm sorry.
No. I can't find it.
What's it called?
On top.
On Top, the Killers, 1970s. Up, Gazy, Gazem. There's a song we never heard of before.
The Killers did a song on their Hot Fuss album called On Top, but that was released definitely not in the 70s.
Definitely not the 70s.
Yeah, the Killers, you know, well, we'll look it up, see what's going on.
I don't know. Can we just pass?
No. Yeah, I don't think this is going to fit the time frame we're looking for.
Rich, you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Quick concession.
Good try, though. Good try.
Gino in Oxford.
You're No Good.
Linda Ronstadt.
Yep.
There you go.
And that song, man. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got the first freaking time.
And then the last minute and a half is all music. So she just left the studio.
I'm like, I don't think she's coming back.
That's right. She says it three times. Yeah. She says, I'm going to say
it. I'm going to say it again.
again. I'm like, no, I got you the first time.
Yeah, we're
okay?
good.
Okay, when you just stomp on my heart here, what?
Steve in Fairfield.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, Lee Michaels.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
The production of that song is amazing, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, just a keyboardist and a drummer. That was yep. it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, no guitar on that song.
No bass?
Yep. Nope.
Nope.
Roger in Burlington.
Seasons in the Sun.
Terry Jacks.
So easy.
We had joy.
You
want to
do
fun.
This, AJ?
I'm sorry.
We brought Rob Ray in to do it.
Right, right, right. I'll be on the couch.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right.
That's a thing now.
Just say it after he gets the answer out.
Yeah, right. I can't help myself. Right. I love it.
And
coffee.
You're kind of diminishing his like awesomeness by like, oh, well, that was easy.
Fine, I'll be over here.
Standing in a corner.
Looking at the
window.
Oh, my God, I
could have
done that one in my sleep.
I've said too much.
Dave and Seymour.
Naugatuck, Dave and Naugatuck.
That's good.
What?
What's the song?
All right, well, let's go with Still the Wine.
Eric Burden and War, mm-hmm. 1970.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
How you doing? Good?
Good. Frank and Naugatuck.
Ungada Davida.
Iron Butterfly, 1968.
That's Ungada Davida, not Ungada Davida. It's not a Spanish tune.
Ungada Davida. Renee and Simsbury.
Simsbury.
No.
Simsbury.
Brand New Key.
Melanie.
Mike in New Haven, did we take your call yet?
No.
Okay, good.
Cook with Honey.
What?
What?
Cook with Honey.
Cook with honey. What do you mean, instructions?
Cook with honey?
Cook with honey.
Mm, don't know that
taste
one.
Of honey? I don't know. Let's check it.
Cook with honey.
Cook with here. Honey.
Right. Bake to 355.
Judy Collins, it was April 1973.
Was it a top 40 hit?
Yeah, it was in there. It was in April 1973 by Judy Collins.
We're checking right now.
Cook with Honey.
I do see the song released okay. in 1973, but I don't think she charted.
Does it chart? We have to check these
I
things.
Think her top 40
like
hits
in the 30s.
I think her top 40 hits were Both Sides Now, Send in the Clowns, and Hard Times for Lovers.
I believe you, Rob Ray.
What the hell?
And Amazing Grace. She
I think it was like the
that's
third week of
that's
April. Or
top 40 hit. Oh, no.
Wow.
It hit 32. Did
in
it
the
really?
United States.
So it was like 1 week.
Well, like one day.
Wow. Right? I've never heard of that.
All of her friends listened that day.
Yeah. 1973.
Older clowns you sent in.
Wow. Mm. Good for you. You had to look that up, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you admit it.
I don't blame you. It's the only way you're gonna beat this guy.
It's the Tuninator.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You gotta dig deep to get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took me a while to find it. I have to brush up on my folk rock.
You don't have to brush up on anything.
Seriously, right?
Did you ever drink growing up?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Not a lot.
Right. No.
I was going to say, that's why
I'm like, that's not a brain that's been soaked in alcohol.
No. Or bong resin. Or
that
other
would be
stuff.
Us. A Lyft driver in Pennsylvania refused to give a bar owner a ride after she made racist comments when she first got in the car. After declining the ride, a guy threatened to punch the driver. So she's with a guy. They're getting in the car. She makes some comments. She's like, I'm not going to give you a ride.
Yep.
Then the guy with the girl says, I'm going to punch you.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you first.
All right, here's a clip.
Hello. For Jackie, right?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, you're like a white guy.
What's that?
Are you like a white guy?
Excuse me?
Are you like a normal guy? Like you speak English? Sorry.
No, you can get out of the car. I'm gonna cancel the ride. That's inappropriate.
What?
It's completely inappropriate. If somebody was not white sitting in the seat, what would be the difference?
Are you serious?
Are we jerks falling for something?
Maybe.
Well, like this is a set, like this is an old stage.
The way he's talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Lyft way. Like, they're super polite.
Wow.
If you've ever gotten into a Lyft before, they like give you a fist bump and they're very nice. Whereas like Uber, it's just like, where are you going?
Okay. Yeah,
and then they shut up and they just drive you there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. This is like their whole deal. Like we're going to be the polite company.
Their spiel. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They can't spell Lyft properly, but yes.
A white guy. That's okay. I'm not going to take the ride. You guys can get out.
Really?
Yeah. Completely inappropriate. It's all on camera.
I should punch in the face.
Oh, you're going to threaten me?
Yeah, assault. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, now if he's really polite, he would say, where would you like to punch me in the face?
Right. Which side?
Yeah.
Which hand would you like to use to punch me in the face?
Which is more convenient for you?
Would you like to punch me twice? Because it's Tuesday. It's two for Tuesday.
Right. What's more convenient for you? Should I put the seat down back further so you can actually get a nice reach?
Right.
Yeah.
Let me step out of the car.
You know what? Why don't you just hold your fist? And I'll just run into it a couple times.
that's unbelievably
polite. See, that's very polite.
No, that's
service. This way you're not straining yourself.
Right. I don't
at
want
all.
You wasting your energy.
Right. Or possibly cutting your finger on my tooth.
Yeah. I'll just punch myself.
You know what? I'll just smash my face on the hood of the car. How about that?
There you go.
How many times would you like me to do that?
Yes. I'll expect a tip though. A gratuity.
Because you guys are racist.
Get the f*** out of here.
No, I'm calling the cops on you, man.
Go
ahead. It's all on camera. Do you guys own the place? That's great. Everyone's going to know.
That clip actually is a lot worse at the end there. They cut a lot out.
Oh, really?
Throwing all kinds of words out there you can't say.
Wow.
It's weird to like say you can't do that. That's a racist thing to do. And then to just download every racist word that you know with the guy.
That's ridiculous.
That's what the couple did.
The guy, yeah. Oh. That was outside of the car.
Oh.
The, you know, whoever the husband is to Jackie or whatever.
The dude with her. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, all right, well, I'm calling the cops. So that's why it escalated to I'm calling the cops.
It's weird you can call the cops for racist comments.
But he did threaten to punch him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That.
That's
yeah.
a threat.
That's an assault, yes.
That is a threat.
Right. Now, do you call him if he runs his face into that guy's fist? Now, can you say I'm just calling because I just ran my face in someone's fist several times?
I just didn't know if like how many times do you think Phil could call the police on AJ in one show?
All right, next segment.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't realize you could call for threatening.
Yeah, let's look at this logistically.
Milford's going to have a special AJ hotline. Yes,
right.
We heard.
Right.
We were listening.
Logistically, I have to go from the third floor to the fourth floor, upstairs with him, through those stairs, and then I have to open the door, which is usually locked, and get to the
roof.
So
you're saying the threat is not realistic.
Yeah, exactly, right. Now,
because you have to do too much work.
Now, if these windows would open, it's a different story.
Oh, okay.
Because I love you guys, and
exactly,
it's
right.
Brandon Steiner, sports marketing legend and author and king of sports memorabilia. Good morning.
Good morning. What a great time for New York sports, huh?
Wowie.
Seriously.
But Rangers comeback was something.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's fired up. Yankees, Mets, Rangers.
We Yankees are what? Eight of their last 10.
Oh, it's better than that. It's like 21 in the last like 25 games or something like that.
Wow.
It's unbelievable what they've been doing.
Fire.
This morning I heard eight out of their last 10.
Sure, but it's even better than that.
We think we may go undefeated. I think we may go undefeated the rest of the way.
Wow,
that's how good they're playing.
Interesting.
Huh?
That's how delusional we get when we, you know, when you haven't had water in months, everything looks like a pool.
That's a good analogy.
I saw a story this morning. I don't know if you saw it, Brandon, but there are some Michael Jordan items going up on auction.
Yes. He has maintained great status in the collectible world. He's done a great job by not doing much.
Really?
Yeah, just crying.
There's nobody who's signed less autographs and done less for the collectible business than Michael Jordan, yet his stuff keeps going up and up and up. I'm always mad at him because I just always felt like there was, you know, he should have been more generous with his collectibles and signed more, but he didn't agree. And I had a nice relationship with him back in the day, and, you know, he had his way of doing things. But so now, his stuff is just worth a ton, but it's not a lot out there, and it's hard to come by, and he is the GOAT. And the people that are the prime collectors, you know, people in their 40s, that was their guy. You know, he was their guy. You know, so you're buying that stuff for your kids, you're buying that stuff for your sports room, and he is like the second coming of what I look at, like almost the second coming of Babe Ruth. Like when, you know, I was just kind of growing up and getting in the business early on. Babe Ruth was the one thing to have, and now it's Jordan.
Really?
I know Brady's trying to work his way into it.
Ruth.
Yeah. I mean, wow. you talk about Michael on any street corner in the world, and you know, you talk about Michael Jordan.
Well, that's
amazing,
a good point.
His status.
So one of the things that's going to go up in this auction is a 1986 rookie card.
Oh, wow.
And signed.
Really?
Ooh. Hard to find them. And that rookie card, boy, I sold my rookie card a bunch of years ago. I wish I had it back. But
was it signed?
Stupid. No. He didn't sign a lot of rookie cards. You know, those cards go crazy. It's really hard. It's one of the more highly sought after cards. So good for him.
They believe this signed card is going to go between $2 and $3 million. Now, when you hear that number, do you say, "Oh, it's going to go way more than that," or do you think that that's hype from the auction house?
When I hear that number, I'm like, "Man, I'd like to meet that person so I can go steal some money from him." But I think it's hype. I mean, I think that's a lot of money for that car, but I bet you it goes for seven figures, though.
Really?
And it's crazy, but he's that one guy that people will spare nothing for. Sneakers, anything he wore. Man, we were selling game used jerseys back in the early 90s for, you know, a couple grand. That sell for a few hundred grand.
What do you think those are worth now?
His jerseys are starting at 100 grand all the way up to $1 million, his game used jerseys. It's just amazing.
It'd be fun if he bought it himself just to keep up the market.
Just amazing.
Boston John.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
So I got a Tom Brady college autographed game-worn jersey.
Oh.
Wow.
Really? Did you bring it to his house?
Yep.
How'd you get it?
I got one. It's professionally framed. It's got a picture of him in it. And the jersey's autographed. Real nice piece.
Is it authenticated?
Yep. It's been authenticated by, PSA or something like that? PSA?
The autograph or the actual jersey?
Both. The whole thing.
Wow.
How'd you get the jersey though? How'd you get
the
it?
Autograph on
How
it?
Did you get the jersey?
It was a fundraising event. I ended up paying $500 for it.
How many years ago?
Maybe like 2001, 2002, right when he started with the Patriots.
So like 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Definitely. So you got it early. Cool.
Nice.
Man, that jersey could be up towards 100 grand.
What?
Oh, my.
That's insane.
What? Yep.
No way.
Way.
That's somewhere between 50 and 100. You got to see, you know, which games he wore that for in Michigan, but his stuff's through the roof, too.
Damn.
Wow! So I could with the authentication and everything else, I could just walk into anywhere and just get 50 to 100 grand for it.
Well, I think you'd have to auction it. The status of the game used part of it would stuff to be authenticated just to make sure. But I think I could go for some real good money.
Brandon, we'll link up your site to our site. John, you can.
I'm happy
go
to help
there.
You sell that.
There you
John,
go.
You're...
Hey, I'm not going to go to work today.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Very good.
Nice.
By the way, is it a blue? Is it a home jersey or is it away?
Hang on a second.
Is it a home or
away jersey? Blue or white? John?
John?
Yes, sir.
John.
Is it blue?
Yes, sir.
Or white, the jersey?
It's blue.
Oh, this is home. Wow.
Home.
Be interesting to see what year that jersey's from because, you know, he definitely had a couple years where he didn't play. But you know, I could go for some real money.
Wow, that how can you tell from? Are there numbers on the like inside?
Well, you would do
your
photo match that. You'd have to photo match it.
Oh wow. Okay.
Well, on the all right. So the jersey's framed and it has a picture of him wearing it, and then the jersey itself has the autograph on it.
You got the whole package.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice jersey.
That's a good $500
nice.
You spent.
I'm definitely not going to work today.
All right. You weren't going to anyway.
Hey, would you send me a picture of that jersey when you can? You know, you could follow me on LinkedIn to send that. I'd like to see a real close-up picture of that.
Yeah, no problem. I can do that.
Awesome. Good luck, man. Cool. That's great.
All right, Boston
Hey,
John.
Hey, thanks for making my day.
All right,
my
thank
year.
You.
Boston John, you can bring it here. We'll take a picture for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Yeah, bring it over here. I'll bring it to Brandon. Jay on the road.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
I have a Michael Jordan signed baseball from the 90s. I don't have the certificate of authenticity that came with it anymore. God knows what happened to that thing. But I'm sure it can be authenticized, right?
Authenticated. Does you need a vowel there? The question is there a hologram on there? That would be important.
I think there is. Yeah, it's in a little plastic box deal. You know, those little
The cube.
Little hard plastic cases. Yeah.
No, but is there a hologram on the baseball?
I believe there is. Yes.
Okay. There's two things going on. If it's yeah, guys.
I think we paid $500 for it in the 90s. From some member thing or something like that.
Well, if it has an upper deck seal on it, which is really what you want, then you got a ball that's worth anywhere from, it could be up to $1,000. Problem is, there's a lot of them that don't have the seal, and there are a lot of fakes. So if it doesn't have the hologram, you're definitely going to have to get it authenticated, and it's a hit or miss proposition, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of fake ones out there. But yeah, if it does have the hologram, you probably have a nice anywhere from, probably close to $1,000 ball.
Wow, that's nice.
Okay. All right. Right on. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Everybody's on the Jordan bandwagon this morning. Can we talk about the Knicks? That's right. There's really not much to talk about. But
John
hopefully next year could be our year for the Knicks, Maybe it's our year, but I feel like that team's coming along.
If not,
better.
It'll be the year after.
Exactly right. Sometime.
John and Wallingford.
Hey, everyone. Good morning.
Morning.
So I have two game pucks from April 13th, 1997, the Whalers' last home game against Tampa Bay. Oh. And probably signed by, I'd say, three-quarters of the team on both pucks. My hockey team, I was 10 at the time, we actually played, the little kid match in between the first and the second period. And I swiped, three or four pucks.
So, wow, that's cool.
Exactly
I'd like to see who's
exactly
on those
Brady jersey.
Yeah, do you know who's on those pucks?
Just going back to the Michael Jordan baseball, the difference between that having the upper deck hologram and not, that ball could even be, really, if you found the right buyer, it might even buy up to that ball for $2,000. So that was a good ball if it does have the upper deck. But that's who signed all Michael Jordan stuff. That's $2,000. But back to your pucks for a minute. I'd love to see who's on that puck, but, there are some big fans of the Hartford Whalers. You got to find the right person that's going to go buy that. But if you put those pucks in a case,
they were kept in a safe the whole time.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I would frame those. First of all, we got to get it authenticated, but that shouldn't be too hard. And then I would photo match it just from the game use standpoint, just seeing if those are the pucks we used in that game. And it's not that hard to do. You'd go back and look at some old photos, and you'd see that they really were pucks used in the game because nobody was really thinking about saving that. And so the fact that you had that, it wouldn't be too hard to match up. But, you frame that up with, some pictures from the last game, and you find a Hartford Whaler fan, and you probably get yourself about $1,000 for that.
Do you know Drew by any chance?
I'd probably just hang on to it for myself because I'm a lifelong hockey fan, and always thought it was cool to have.
I think you still shadow box those up. That's something I could probably help you with. You put a couple great photos. You may have some photos from that day when you were there. I don't know. But one of the things I really try to tell people with their collections is take that stuff out from your closet underneath your bed and in the drawer and put it up on the walls and enjoy what you have.
I got some stuff.
That's kind of a big part of collecting it.
Do you do that?
That's a fun memory, man.
Do you do that?
Enjoy it.
You could send an item to you and you'll shadow box it or whatever?
Yeah, we have a whole framing department. Believe it or not, we probably do more framing than we do sell collectibles, but we're known for that at Collectible Exchange.
What about
people enjoy what you collect.
What about pictures of musicians that are autographed and concert tickets? Do you do that stuff or no?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the concert tickets are getting hot again because, again, there's no more tickets. So, I'm looking at finding my Led Zeppelin. I only have one of the two from my Led Zeppelin back in the 70s, but especially if you have some old concert tickets, some of those special fairs, some of those special festivals, people will collect those.
Nice. So you'll do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, frame
man,
those up.
I found my person.
There you go. Boom.
I've been looking.
Yeah,
you found them.
Enjoy that,
stuff.
Man. Enjoy yeah. what you have, man. Yeah.
Thank you, John. James in Brantford.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, hey, thank you.
I have some uncut rolls of baseball and football cards. One of the rolls I have is a 1976 roll of football cards that has Walter Payton, rookie card, Roger Staubach, and Ed Jones all on the same sheet.
Wow, I like that.
I was wondering if the uncut rolls have more value than the individual cards.
Well, I think at this point I wouldn't start cutting those up. don't do that. But you know, usually people will buy the uncut. You know, you put that in the hands of a professional where they want to start cutting it up. But the uncuts do well, and at some point, you know, the Walter Payton, the Staubach, you know, those, you know, you want to get those graded. But I'm not sure if I want to just start cutting those up. But I would put those up for auction. You know, I think
where
the value of that will really vary. What's that?
Where's a good auction place for that kind of stuff?
If you go to my LinkedIn and message me, I'll send you a couple of different places where you can sell that. I have an auction platform on Collectible Exchange, but that particular card, I may send you someplace else where you may do a little bit better. But those are really cool, and people do collect the uncut sheets. That's another thing that I love. If you wanted to keep it, I love framing that up and keeping that. That's a really good keepsake and a lot of stories on that one uncut sheet that you mentioned. So I like framing it up if you wanted to keep it. But if you really wanted to monetize it, you'd put that in an auction, and you'd find let the card collectors, you know, fight over it.
Do you have a ballpark?
Definitely a few thousand bucks, but maybe more. You know, I'd have to go see the condition of it and get a little more detail. And if you send me a photo, again, you know, on LinkedIn or Facebook, message me. I'll give you a more exact number. But, you know, you got something special there. The
Thank
Walter
you, James.
Alone.
Cool.
We're linked up
People
on the radio
that.
Station website. Brandon Steiner is on, and we're linked up to all his stuff on the radio station website. What did you have an item ever on the auction block that just blew you away? What you thought it was going to go for, and then what it eventually went for?
I had a couple things. I mean, I recently sold on my auction a letter that Trump wrote me because he was a customer, and he used to buy stuff. And he was actually a really, really nice customer, so he would send me thank you notes. I only saved one or two of them. And that sold for like $5,000, wow. The letter. I'm like, geez.
Nice. Should have saved
Man,
them all.
I want to thank the person. I want to thank that person if he's out there. But also, Don Larson, his Perfect Game uniform, we sold that for $750,000.
Wow.
And that was amazing. I mean, and plus I was with Don and Colleen when we sold it, and that was money that was going to their grandkids. It was very emotional. And
that's great.
You think about pitching a perfect game in the World Series. I mean, geez, that was amazing. I had a good relationship with Don, and to see it go for that kind of money was amazing. And then we did Bob Knight's collection, the great coach. And, you know, one of his rings sold for $225,000. I think it was Cuban that was bidding. We still think it was him because
gotcha.
He was an Indiana guy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the reason why I went for some. But there was definitely two or three people going crazy on it till finally, I guess, Cuban won. But that was cool. You know,
wow.
Just that was a lot. That was pretty cool. And also history, you know, that you know, Bob Knight was really just an amazing coach, just to kind of be with him. I remember going to his house in Lubbock, and he told me he wasn't a collector, and then he showed me the 300 red sweaters he had put away.
That's OCD.
Like,
yeah, you have any of the chairs that he threw out into the...
There was skin on them?
I was looking for them, but, you know, the red chair somehow gets in the way of some of the greatness with him, though. When I went to his house, you saw the depth of what he had done and the trophies and he was a really, really, really amazing coach. And I just wish that after he left Indiana, he did something different than Texas Tech maybe, because he didn't really finish his career the way I would have liked it.
Yeah.
He changed the game. His approach to the game was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the baseball cards from the 1970s, I had a bunch of Felix Mion from the Mets, also Rusty
Second
Stott,
base.
Stuff like
Let's
that.
Go.
Is that worth anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, you know, the Mets fans are starting to get their mojo back, And rightfully so. The team looks good. So, you know, all of a sudden, all that Mets stuff that's been kind of, you know, on the lower end of things is coming back, especially the 69 stuff and 73.
Yeah.
You know, Mets fans love that. The 86 thing is a little watered down because they've been around. They've done so much. But, you know, the real, real true hardcore Mets fans still collect a lot of that 69, 73 stuff.
We got to go. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on. It went by
fast. Of course, anytime. The lines are going nuts. Love you guys. Enjoy the show. And I'll have to get in person there. We'll do some giveaways next time.
Please. Oh,
please, come in.
Yeah.
We got a toy drive coming up. We'd love to have your help.
I got a birthday coming up.
In January.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.